to get it from our brain to our heart if we could. But in Isaiah chapter 26, we'll pull our text verses tonight, and then we'll have a verse that will, a lot of scripture. We'll be going from place to place. If you can keep up with some of it, that'll be a fine thing. If not, make sure that you have them written down and verify what the preacher says, all right? Don't just trust it, verify it. You say, are you going to tell us wrong? No, I'm not going to tell you wrong. I just want you to know that I'm not telling you wrong. And so verify the scripture, if you would, please. If you're able, would you stand? Let's read our text verses through in Isaiah chapter 26. When we stand for midweek service, it's like a workout, isn't it? Y'all are awful quiet tonight. Isaiah 26, beginning in verse number 1. And that day shall this song be sung. So that means that this chapter, chapter 26 in its entirety, is written as a song. So you sing it when you go home. Well, I'm not going to sing it for you tonight. But in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye, open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Now, verse number 3 and verse 4. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Now, that's the promise. We're studying promises every Wednesday night for a good while. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. There's your promise. But like we said last week when we began this study, there are conditions, and the conditions come after that. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is strength everlasting. Lord, teach us tonight something of your promise to give us peace. May it bring comfort to our hearts in an uncomforting day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated and flip over to Psalm 119 and verse 165. The longest passage of Scripture in the entire Bible is Psalm 119. And come, if you would, to verse number 165. I want to read it through myself once, and then I'll ask you to read it through with me. Now, notice how it's described, all right? We're studying the promise of peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You find that true tonight? I hope you do. And if not, I hope by the end of tonight you can. You'll take the other scriptures and evaluate where your peace comes from. All right, let's read that through if we can tonight. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Let's do it again because I did that one by myself. All right? Come on now. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Why don't you mark two words that I tried to emphasize to you? Great peace and nothing shall offend. Then we capture those two verses in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. 420 times in the Scripture, God uses the word peace. Now, in addition to that, there are words like peaceable and other words that come in with that. I'll read several other passages in a few moments that may not contain the word peace, but they have the thought of peace. But 420 times, and tonight, the one thing that struck me when I read these is that the word tied most often to the word peace is this: peace offering. Peace offering. If you look back in the Old Testament and you search the number of times that peace is used there, the majority of the times in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, in through that area, even into the prophets of the Old Testament, most of the time when peace is mentioned, it is in association with the peace offering. And that was when the people came before the Lord and they offered a sacrifice in an effort to get peace with God. Now, I want you to notice tonight that often we lose our peace And it sometimes is because of our personal actions, and sometimes we lose our peace because of inactivity. Another thought tonight with this is to understand that peace in one place is a gift. Because the Bible said, "My peace give I unto you." Now, that peace is a gift that God gives us. Another realm of looking at peace tonight, the Bible also tells us that peace is a fruit. When we're reading in the New Testament about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, there it is. These are things that bring it out. Now, let me read some scriptures to you that have a thought, if I may, tonight, just about the subject of peace, and then we'll jump into the promise. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, most all of us know, "But my God shall supply all your," what? "Need." Do you know most of us think we would have peace if all of our needs were supplied? But the reality is peace doesn't come from the outside. "My God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 4, then verse 6 through 9. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ." Now, I want to tell you something tonight. You ought to mark in that passage, Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 9, you ought to mark those verses. And then you ought to, I'm trying to think of the word, is it dissect? Diagram, that's what it was. I remember being in school, because I just couldn't remember the word. Dissect was science. Diagram was English. Either way, you're taking it apart. And you're doing it in a proper manner. Now, you can take apart a pig out on the road. But in a science class, you take it apart in an orderly fashion. John was going home from church on Wednesday, on Sunday evening, and he took apart a deer. But he didn't take it apart like Bill does. He doesn't take it to where it constructively can be used. We need to take these verses apart. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, there's two pieces in here that I'd have you circle or mark, shall keep your hearts. And then notice he covers something else, your minds. Both of those are inside of us. Because peace comes from within, not from without. Peace does not come with a circumstance. Peace comes with a person. Notice who that person is, through Christ Jesus. Now, how are we going to get there? I'm glad you asked, and I'm glad that God gave it to us through Paul's writing. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." You know where most of us lose our peace? By what we're thinking on. By what we're thinking about. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end." The psalmist in Psalm 37, verse 4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world." I don't know if you realize this, but there's corruption in this world. Everywhere we turn, we see it. Romans 8:28, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose." 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God in Him, yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, "Abide in Me, and My words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein My Father is glorified, that you bear forth much fruit. And so shall ye be My disciples." Psalm 23 talks about peace. John 3:16 talks about peace. Ephesians 2:10 talks about the subject of peace. Romans 8, the entire chapter, almost the entire chapter, 1 through 39, speaks of the subject of peace. Romans chapter 4, verse 21, talks about peace. Now let me ask you a question. Is it possible to have peace in the midst of turmoil and stress? Is it possible? I answer that with Job. We know about Job's story. Listen to what he said in chapter 3, verse 25. For this thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come to me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Despite everything that I was doing, the trouble came. Now, can you have peace in that? Now, how can we then? Some of you shook your heads and some of you grunted and some of you said yes. All right, then how can we have peace? How peaceful really is our life tonight? Now, let me ask you some questions. I'm going to make it easy, okay? I can tell you need an easy question with an easy answer. How about this? Multiple choice. All right? Here's multiple choice. Here's your answers. When I ask this question, when I ask these questions, you silently answer to yourself. When we talk about how peaceful we really are, here's your answers. A, B, C, and D. Never, seldom, frequently, or constantly. All right? Those are the answers. Those aren't the questions. Here are the questions. Number one, how often do I worry? Never, seldom, frequently, or constantly? We'll take our papers up after this quiz. But I want to make you sign these. No, I'm just kidding. How often are you at peace with others? Never, seldom, frequently, or constantly? Maybe your answer is a little different on that one. Number three, how often do you remain peaceful in times of trouble? Never, seldom, frequent, or constantly? Now, the reality, friends, is this. Peace doesn't come from here. Peace comes here. How did the man ever write it as well with my soul? I don't know. Knowing the tragedy, knowing where he was when he penned those words, knowing the loss of his family. Now, Isaiah is really what we would consider I guess you would call him a wordsmith. And he uses some very detailed words. In chapter 24 through 27, he has a mixture of judgment and joy. He has a mixture of suffering and singing. In this chapter that we're looking at tonight, he says it's a song in 26 in verse 1. Now, he knows that problems cannot thwart God's purposes in our life. So here's another question. Aren't you glad that no matter what you face, there is never... Now, listen, we panic, don't we? I listened to the panic sort of in JJ's voice yesterday. $15,000 for the fire alarm system. But wait a minute, that's the system. Now they got to cut pieces of sheetrock out to put in the things and run the wires and different over here. And then they got to have people to come back and fix the sheetrock. And they got to put paint back on the patch-up jobs. And you want it to look good. Well, you stop and think about all of those things. And JJ was like, and it has been amazing to watch God provide for their needs. And he's got his, I asked him yesterday, I said, well, JJ, are you going to miss packing up after every service, loading all of your chairs and your sound system and your pulpit and all of your hymnals and everything you have, loading them in that little trailer and taking it home for the next service? He said, you know, Brother Don, he said, I don't think I'm going to miss that a whole lot. His two sons were standing there and said, well, he may not. We're not going to miss it at all. So we'll be glad when this part's over. I said, well, now I know who's doing that work. But he already has a plan. They're going to take that trailer that's loaded with all of that equipment, and they've already donated all the equipment and the trailer and the sound system and the portable pulpit and the chairs and everything else. They've already selected another church planner. And as soon as they're in the building, the new church planner is going to come and hook up the trailer and take it off and start another church in another place. But I noticed him yesterday, 15,000. I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's got to do it. I know he's going to do it. There was a little anxiety there. But aren't you glad tonight that there's no anxiety in heaven? God doesn't get nervous about these things. Now, the first part of verse 23, let's begin to look at this and sort of take it apart. Chapter 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Now, that word keep, it has a military definition to it. A military feel, a military theme to it. Keep. It is to guard, to protect, or to maintain. For instance, a city. The enemy is unable to get in when God's peace protects us. In Psalm 85 and verse 8, and I think you have some of these references, but that says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace. And just as all he had to do in Genesis when he created was speak it into existence, all God has to do is speak, and peace is ours. He says to us, keep. Now, in that phrase, notice also it says perfect peace. Now, if a very literal translation of that is the Hebrew word shalom. And his writing of it is he's really saying it two times. He's in its structure, it's a plural word. And so what he's saying is shalom, shalom, or peace, peace. And we talked about a few weeks ago the repetition of things. Now, when we look at that, we think, well, why didn't he use, and I said he was a wordsmith, Isaiah was a wordsmith. He doesn't use very many adjectives with this. Now, do you, tonight, just to sort of illustrate it, when we talk about grace, we sing songs about grace, right? And the songs that are most popular to us have an adjective with it. The most popular hymn in our hymn book on grace is called what? Amazing Grace. What is that? That's a descriptive word of grace. There's another song that we sing. Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And you read through our hymnal, there's a lot of adjectives that describe things out, but he doesn't use an adjective to describe God's peace. He repeats his word again. Now, in my experience, most people who fail to find peace that lasts because they're looking for peace in the wrong place. I've done that. And I'm sure that there are quite a few folks in this room. You've looked for peace, but you've looked for it in the wrong place. Because it's not found in circumstance, it's found in the person of the Lord Jesus. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all, Paul is saying. Now, let's look together if we can in Isaiah 26 verse 3 and 4. Let's look at this perfect peace. And there's two conditions that we're going to see with this. Number one condition is when we keep our minds mindful. When we keep our minds mindful, whose mind is stayed. Now you say, preacher, does that mean I never have a senior moment? No. Now, we're all going to have things that slip our mind. You remember a few weeks ago, I kept trying to shove Moses in the ark all night long. I just could not quit shoving Moses in there. When I knew it was Noah that was over there. It's not talking about your mind stayed. You remember how James placed it? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. What does that mean? A double-minded man is, and I'm putting it in reference with this verse as well. Blessed is the man whose mind is stayed on thee. Set. You find a person who is unstable in their spiritual walk with Christ. Can I tell you what you're usually going to find? A person who is unstable in their personal relationships as well. When you find a person who is unstable in commitment to a marriage or to church or to God, you know what else you're going to find? You're going to find a person that's that is unstable in commitment in their employment. What you usually find is the habits that you have here are the same habits that you have over here. Now, notice what our text is saying again. Look at it again with me, if you would. Whose mind is stayed upon thee. Remember the song, stayed upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. What we're thinking about. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 told us that be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. It moves on further than that. Now, what is it that we worried about? And I read this, I forget exactly who it was. It came out of one of the leading universities. It was a study about what people worry about. Listen to this. 40% of what we worry about never happens. 30% concerns things that have already happened in the past. There's nothing you can do about them, but we spend time worrying. 12% are needless worries about health. 10% are petty issues. 8% are legitimate concerns. So really what this study is saying, and you can't believe all studies, and I know that you can make statistics say what you would like to say, and I'm not doing that for the purposes of this, but the truth is this, about 92% of our worry time becomes wasted energy. Now, Luke chapter 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that they come upon you unawares. You know, we can become so... Listen, don't try not to put a name with it tonight. But we all watch. We've been observers. In the gallery of life, we've seen people who have become so burdened down and overcharged with the things of life that suddenly all of their peace is gone. And the stress is more than what they can literally handle. Now, when we look at all that, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, you know the verse, don't you? Casting some of your care upon him. No, that's not what it says. I told you, you better verify what I'm saying. Because if you hadn't verified it the other week, yes, Moses would have been in the ark. Casting all your care upon him. Why? Aren't you glad that God does tell us why? He doesn't leave us to imagine with us. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. Now, we've been allowing, we can't allow our minds to focus on things that begin to bring us down. Now, as we look at Warren Wiersbe, I was studying behind him a number of years ago, and he is the one that's known for this, and I know that you probably have heard this phrase, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character, and you sow a character, and you reap a destiny. A scripture verse that can be tagged to that, if we had Brother Steve Pigott here, goodness, 25, maybe 30 years ago. And he had a sermon that he developed. I heard at a pastor's meeting one time. I said, man, we want him to come and help our people with that. And it was out of the book of Proverbs in chapter 23 and verse 7. And here's what it said. For as a man thinketh, so is he. Now, how many of you here remember? And you can just shake your head because I don't know if you can raise your hand or not. How many of you remember that sermon, and he backed it. We had to use the sound room a lot that night, and he used music clips. One of the only times in our church that we ever played circus music in the church service. But remember what he'd say? Close your eyes, please. We're going to take a trip from the auditorium. And then all of a sudden, very faintly, and it would build, you'd hear, dun, 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 dun. And then he would describe the circus. You could almost smell the popcorn. And then he would have the Lone Ranger on his horse chasing. And he did about 10 of them, and then he twisted them all up. And he had the Lone Ranger chasing someone to the circus music. But what he showed us was, with your eyes closed, when you hear this, you think this. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, would you? This is why I asked you a while ago in Philippians chapter 4 to mark that passage of Scripture. Notice there are filters. There are 8 filters that are given in that verse. And here are the filters. If we're going to have peace whose mind is stayed, how do I get my mind to stay? How do I guard my mind? How do I protect my mind? How do I make sure the enemy can't come in and take over my mind? What do I do? Now, go ahead, if you would, and turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Because I think if you mark these and you begin to memorize these, some of you may have them memorized, but if we begin to practice these, God's promise becomes more real to us. Here Paul gives 8 filters, all right? Whose mind is stayed on thee. How do I get my mind to stay? Look at these 8 filters. Whatsoever things are true. Now, how do you know if something's true or not? Everything that we think to be true needs to be weighed against the Scripture. We're speaking of spiritual things tonight. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Now, I'm not going to ask you again tonight to raise your hand, but you know for a fact there's some of you in here tonight that have had thoughts today that weren't lovely thoughts. And the lovely thoughts cause us not to have our mind stayed on Him. Some of us haven't had some honest thoughts. Some of us haven't had some thoughts of true things. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. Here's 7. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. What we're saying tonight is the peace of God comes to the man whose mind is stayed on the. You know where Satan is battling everyone in this room tonight? I take it tonight that I am preaching and teaching to mainly saved people. When you are saved, your soul is no longer the battlefield. Your mind is the battlefield. You know what the devil's going after tonight? Your mind. Now, again, I'm going to tell you, if we're going to use these 8 filters, there comes a time when there's some things you got to cut off. I have talked in the last 3 months to numbers of people, and you know, here's been my advice. Quit reading the newspaper. Turn off the 24-hour news. Quit searching the internet for who did what, and who said what, and who called who. And what they said. Because I'm going to tell you something. You get your mind set on all of that garbage, your peace is gone. If we get our mind set on the things outside of these 8 filters, we can't have the peace of God. Now, not only did He say to us that His peace comes to the man whose mind is stayed on the. Then God is good enough to say, okay, here's how you do it. Here's how you keep your mind stayed. Look at the second thing, if you would. When we keep our wills willing, when we keep our minds mindful, and we have to do that. You have to know when to say when. You have to know when is too much. You have to know when there's a person that you can't talk to. Because that person is going to cause your thought pattern to change. And instead of lovely things, you're going to think of harsh things. Instead of true things, you're going to think of gossip things that you don't know if true or not. And the peace of God flies away and you wonder where it is. Keep your mind mindful. Number 2, keep your will willing. In 26 and verse 3, notice the promise. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Condition 1, whose mind is stayed on thee. Condition 2, because he trusteth in thee. To trust means to lean fully on something. Now, all of you tonight, every one of you in here other than me, right now you are exhibiting trust in the pew that you're sitting in. I don't see anybody in here that halfway trusts the pew. Church, these pews are near 40 years old. The church interior design company says these pews have passed their life expectancy. But some of you came in tonight and you've had a long day and you put your full trust. And I mean, you didn't. Now, I'm going to tell you one of these things, and I hope it's the one over there. I told Rob to move it and make sure I wasn't sitting on it. One of them has a little wobble to it. But you don't see me come up and listen to Dennis and say, he knows which one it is. He keeps moving it back over on this side. That's what's happening. But you know what you did? You came in, you didn't think a thing about it. You didn't. How many of you came in here tonight and you did this? Anybody? Not one person did. You came in here and poof, some of you are harder than others. It's been a long day. You put, and listen, you didn't just put 75 pounds down. Nobody in here tonight is like this. I trust this, but I don't trust it with all of me. You're not on one foot and one knee, and you're not halfway up and halfway down. Every one of you sitting here tonight, you put your full trust. We have to come to that place if we're going to keep peace. The second condition, because he trusteth in thee. You know what we do? We let God have everything, just like you're letting that pew have everything tonight. What's going to happen with that? Philippians chapter 4, again, we look at that, and it shows us the peace of God will, first of all, protect us in verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. It goes way beyond all that we can ask or all that we can imagine. Another thing that it does, the peace of God, the God of peace will be with us. In verse number 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Aren't you glad that tonight the God of peace can be here in this auditorium room? And on your prayer list tonight in the center section, one of our men who was so faithful for so many years, Brother Russ Oliver, is probably sitting in his wing chair tonight with his legs hanging over one end and he's got a fishing hat on. And he's probably watching a televangelist. And he's pretty quiet. I walked in the room the other day, took him lunch. I have never seen anybody eat lunch quite that fast in all my life. But I'm glad tonight peace can be here, but peace can be there. And peace can be in that ICU ward, critical care ward, with Bill. The God of peace will be with us. Now, that leads to a third condition, and that is this, when we keep our lives living for the Lord. And we find that in verse 4 of Isaiah 26, our text verse. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. If you don't walk with God, you'll worry yourself crazy. If you don't trust God, you'll tremble yourself to exhaustion. And then if we unplug from God, we will be unraveled from multiple things. Now, one of the two times that this occurs in all of the Bible, in Isaiah, he gives us a double dose of a word, and you can't find any adjective to describe it. He just simply says, the Lord, the Lord. That happens two times in all of God's word. God will keep us in perfect peace. When we keep our minds mindful, our will willing, and when we keep our lives living for the Lord. Now, if you would, a few pages over to Isaiah 57. We'll finish with this verse this evening. Isaiah chapter 57. And find verse 19, if you would, please. Isaiah 57 and verse 19. And we'll read through verse 21. Now, remember what God said? My peace give I unto you. That's a promise. We've looked at the conditions. And now look at the ending of this. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace. Peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. I caught just a little bit of news tonight before coming to church. And according to who you listen to, where the wars are. We know some of the leading nations right now that are in this. I got tickled at one of the senators the other night, said that Russia is going to attack Korea. She meant Crimea, not Korea. But we're hearing about missile tests out of North Korea. Remember what the Bible said? There will be wars and rumors of wars. And we hear things, rumblings in Russia. And I don't trust Iran anywhere. Everybody was elated years ago when they said communism is dead. And we were saying, wait a minute, communism is taking a second breath here. We hear in our capital, party against party. We hear in our state when our governor stands up and makes the statements like, you send me any bill dealing with abortion and I'll veto it. There's a divide there. You know what? You don't find peace. Now notice what Isaiah 57 says. There'll be no peace for the wicked. And we have to live among wicked people. We have to live in this world, but we don't have to live of this world. Notice the promise again. Peace to him that is afar off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal them. But here's what's going to happen. The wicked are going to be troubled and the wicked will not have peace. It'd be a wonderful thing tonight if the lost people could look at the peace that we have. The peace that passeth all understanding. When we face things that the world faces and they say, how do you deal with that? And if we're able with our minds and our will and our living, if we're able to do those things that God has given us, you know what he promises? I will give you perfect peace. Peace to the man whose mind is stayed on thee. It's a great promise. But again, tonight, as we're finished, we have to mind the conditions. And if God says he'll do his part, he'll do it. And his promise, he's never broken one, his promise to us is to give peace. But we have to fulfill our part. So tonight, the promise of God, the peace, the gift of peace, the fruit of peace can be ours if we follow through with God's pattern that he's given us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the evening together tonight. Strengthen us by your word. Strengthen us by